I had a shop on the east side in from 1952 to 1955, and that's when I sort of got to know her. I was signwriting most of the time, and we also had a house painting business. And we got this contract to paint the front of old Mr. Singh's place, where Fan Arcade is now. And, Eddie Fan was a little fellow in those days. He never grew much taller, but he was a kid at school. And I was painting this cream and green. You know, it was a cream at the top and a green underneath the window. And I had a pair of trestles with a very thick plank. The plank would have been about 9 inches wide, but about 5 inches thick. It was the only plank I could get my hands on in those days. And I made the mistake of mixing paint underneath the plank and then standing up. I hit my head very badly, and I let out a lot of curses. And I looked up, and there's this little Indian fellow standing next to me. He was a high commissioner from India visiting. And I used to get a lot of very toffee guests at the residency in those days. And he said, "Oh my goodness, you have hit your head. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Oh dear." And he sort of pacified me a bit and got rid of the bad language and told me a bit about himself. And we had a little chat, and he went away. Next thing, round the corner came Miss Pink, who lived around where that tourist place is now, next to the council. She was living in an Issen hut there, and the fire brigade was next door. So she said to me in a very loud voice, "Do these nasty Chinamen give you a cup of tea?" And I said, "No, Miss Pink, they don't." And she said, "Well, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, you come to my place." So I said, "Yes, Miss Pink, yes, Miss Pink," and immediately forgot about it. And I thought, well, you know, she's a silly old thing, she won't remember. But 10 o'clock the next morning, round the corner she came, and she grabbed me, and she sort of, you know, got rid of the brush out of my hand and dragged me around to the Nissen hut, and we sat and we had our tea. She said, I don't actually drink tea, but I'll have this glass of coloured water with you." And we had a little piece of Madeira cake and chatted away to me. And I just sat and I listened mainly, but I don't remember much of the conversation.
What
now.
What was the coloured water?
She'd put a little tea bag, you know, what was left of the tea bag, into the tea and coloured it.
Right.
But she was at that stage. She was going on. She was at war with the fireman next door. She was always accusing them of, you know, spying on or doing things like that. And round about that time, I can't remember. I was on jury duty, and I think it was to do with the Kadaicha murder. And when we were waiting as a jury panel, we were at the back of the old courthouse, and there was a trial going on in the lower court, and we were sitting watching that, and Miss Pink was giving it as evidence from the back of the court. And the judge or magistrate said to her, "And Mr. Allen threw a stone at you?" And she said, "Yes, Your Honour." And he said, "And how far away was Mr. Allen when he threw this stone?" And she said, "He was exactly 2.5 spear lengths away, Your Honour, because I measured it." And she had these spears on a wall. She had quite a nice display of Aboriginal spears and kulmans and shields and things, which were, you know, pretty plentiful in those days. The Aborigines that were living out at the bungalow used to peddle them around the town, and I remember buying a lot of them. Yeah.
So some fellow was in the magistrate's court, presumably.
Yeah, this was Lloydie Allen, the chief of the fire service.
He was the one who...
He was the one that was
throwing
the... She said he threw the stone. I don't know whether he... I think he said afterwards that he threw a stone, but he didn't throw it at her. You know, he did his lolly, and
they were pretty exasperated with each
other.
Oh yeah, she's the fire brigade.
Yeah, yeah. She was into them all the time. You know, and she was. I think Shell might have mentioned something like that in a book. She believed everybody was spying on Canadian Airways. And
why do you think she invited you to morning tea that day? I mean, she came round the corner. Did she know that you'd hit your head on the...
No, not unless she heard the... I don't think she would have heard it from where she was. I just think she was one of those sort of people that collected people, I think.
I see.
And she decided that she would show these Chinese people up. There was a lot of that in it too. I don't know whether she had any feuds with old Mr. Singh.
She must have had a fair interest in people.
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah, I remember Shirley in her story about her and her legends of the Red Heart said that she when we had the shop in Fan Arcade, the little shop, she said that Miss Pink arrived one day in the doorway and said good morning and then walked around the shop, and she was going and eventually did a complete circuit of the shop, stopped at the doorway and said good morning and left. But Cheryl took it as a mark of approval. All these little sounded as though she was enjoying what she saw.
I see.
You know.
So was that the only morning tea you had with her?
Only the one, yeah. She never invited me back. But she never, she always, if I ever saw her in the street, she always said hello. But we never stopped and had a conversation that I, not that I can recall now.
So over those years of, you know, with that sort of, I guess, acquaintance level relationship, what were your impressions of her? Was she just simply in the background, someone that...
Yeah, I don't think I did. I didn't know a lot about her. I probably know more about her now through reading Cheryl's chapter, than I did in those days. She was another curiosity in the town, and she kept much in the background unless you did something that upset her. I know she used to thump. I've seen her thump the counter in the old Commonwealth Bank, but I never hung around to see why, and the tellers used to disappear.